anywhere else. Those who are asuras, those who are demons, they think, why do we need God? Better do away with God. Why do we need God? We can actually do everything what we want. This is a trend nowadays. People are actually trying to kick out God. Even if you read some of, please don't read, but even if you read other editions of the Bhagavad Gita, you find they try to kick away Krishna from these editions. They say, this Krishna is not a historical person. You don't have to surrender to Krishna. Krishna is a myth. Krishna is the best myth. It is a myth, but it is the best myth. So, all his leelas come under mythology. So, now we find, in this age, even in our own country, people are wanting to just subtract God from whatever they want to do. And then, there are debates. Can we have morality without God? Can we have this without God? Why do we need God for discipline? Why do we need God for self-realization? Why do we need religion for this? Why do we need religion for that? So in this such an atmosphere of godlessness, if someone actually comes for God, that's a big credit. But that is not all in all. We have to know that someone has come to God means he should complete the whole process. Because these, out of these four kinds of people, when the distressed loses his distress, if the disease gets over, he forgets God. The desire of wealth, suppose he gets wealth, he forgets God. One was inquisitive, he knows, okay, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and I have to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that's all right. My inquisitiveness is satisfied. Then he forgets God. So, Krishna says actually, one who is actually searching for knowledge of the Absolute, he is better. Because he actually is better situated. So, although it is good, we don't advocate that you should do devotional service for just satisfying these desires. But, we don't even discourage. It is not that Krishna cannot give you something. He actually has shown. There was a devotee called Sudama. Sudama did not ask for anything, but he got so many things which he didn't even dream of. So, why do we say Krishna gives something to one person and he doesn't give something to other? He knows what is best. Because he is the supreme personality of Godhead, he knows what I should give to someone, what I should not give to someone. That is the difference. Just like a small boy, if he goes to his parents and says, I want to eat some chocolate, but they know he has this bad habit. He is eating so much sugar that his teeth are starting to decay. So his mother or father may say, no. Unless you take the medicine, unless your teeth get nice and strong, I am not going to give you any money for any chocolates. Suppose some or other, he gets some money and he goes to a shopkeeper and he says, please give me one chocolate bar. Will the shopkeeper ask him, are your teeth decaying? Do you suffer from tooth decay? Are you taking some medicine? No. He says, this fellow has given me the money, I am duty bound to give him whatever he wants. So, why are these people called pious? What is their piety? They have come to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have come to Krishna. They have not gone to any other demigod or anyone else. Because the demigods are people like the shopkeeper. They won't ask you, Mr. So-and-so, you want money? Here it is. You want this? Take this. You want that? Take that. But they will not ask you whether this is good for your health. Taking more and more chocolates will actually make the situation worse. So we find so many people who are demigod worshippers, but they never have that satisfaction. So many people do so many kinds of things to satisfy their inquisitiveness, to gain wealth, to actually get rid of some disease, but they don't get mental satisfaction. They don't get peace of mind. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashanta Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ataeva Shanta. He says, Bhukti, somebody wants material sense gratification. Mukti, somebody just wants to get rid of the whole thing. Siddhi Kami, somebody wants perfection of yoga, Hatha Yoga especially. He wants to do some miracles. All these people, all those who desire this, Sakali Ashanta, they never get peace of mind. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ataeva Shanta. A devotee of Krishna is actually Nishkama. What is this Nishkama? Does it mean no desire? There are many philosophies who say, you have problems because you have desires. Why do you nurture so many desires? Just get rid of the whole thing. Make your mind desireless. But the soul is always active. We are active now in this disease state. So in this disease state, if the activity is there, how can there be no activity in the liberated state? If somebody has a very big house, and the house gives him so many problems, the government is taxing him, the municipality is taxing him, he doesn't have any money to pay for the rent, to pay for the cess, all kinds of taxes, to pay for the painting, pay for the electricity. So he's always concerned, what should I do? I got this big house from my forefathers. If I burn it down, then no more tax, no more expenses, nothing. That is not a solution. What he can do is, he can give some part of the house on rent. He can generate money out of that. With that same money, he can sustain himself. He can also make some profit. So, the house is not the cause of his distress. He is not properly using it. Your desires are not the cause of your distress. You are generating impure desires. All these desires are taking you away from Krishna. If you desire something which connects you to Krishna, that is a purified desire. That is the crux of the whole issue. The four people who were discussed last time, the grossly foolish, lowest of mankind, the deluded speculators, and the professed atheist, they have one great qualification. They never surrender unto the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, in spite of all scriptural and authoritative advice. They may go on with their activities forever. The one thing they have in common is, we don't want to surrender. And what these four people do? Somehow or other, they have made one step in the right direction. When they come and ask for something, that step is calculated as a very, very great effort. Just like, if you and me, we walk, nobody praises us. Can somebody praise us because we walk nicely? No. But suppose someone, a small child, who can barely sit, if he tries to get up, his parents are so happy. Oh, our son is learning to walk now. He tries to take one step, immediately falls down. They don't curse him, or they don't criticize him. He says, what kind of nonsense fellow is this? He can't even walk properly. No, they just take note of his nice effort. Similarly, although we may be very qualified now, we may be very beautiful, we may have taken birth in a very high family, we may have great wealth, but in front of Krishna, we are nothing but tottering babes. He just looks upon, just like you will look upon a very small baby. Our devotional service is like that small baby. So, whatever you do, a small baby, he wants to speak, but what he speaks is all, you can't understand it. So, when you ask for Krishna for so many things, you give him a long list. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. I want to become this, this, this. He just says, okay, okay. It is just like, it is the gibberish talk of a small child. Not to be taken much notice. Because, when Krishna gives you full knowledge, through pure devotion service, you understand, my God, these were the things I wanted? No. I don't want them. Please don't give them. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. At one time, he was so angry, he was hell bent upon heaven. He wanted at somehow or other I should get that kingdom. Somehow or other I want it. He was so angry with his father, his brother, his stepmother. And when he got the person who can give, he said, no, I don't want it. But Krishna wanted to teach a lesson. He says, I am not poor. It is not that I cannot give you such a kingdom. I can fulfill the minutest of your desires in an unlimited way. In fact, because he is a super soul, he knows our desire before we know it. It is not that you have to go and tell God as if he doesn't know what's happening with you. He actually knows everything. Krishna says, Mam tu vedana kashchana. He says, I know everything, but me no one knows. What does he mean by saying me no one knows? People don't know actually what to go and ask from Krishna. What should I ask from God? What can God give me? It is just like a beggar. A king one day declared, a son has been born to me. I am so happy. I will tomorrow give anything what you want. So people can come to me and they can have their heart's desire fulfilled. So this poor beggar is to get 1 rupees, 2 rupees, like that, sometimes 5 rupees, and plus some stale food from someone. So he heard, tomorrow this person is going to fulfill all my desires. So all the night he was awake. What should I desire? What should I demand? I should demand 10 rupees. But he says, no, 10 rupees is very less. But can you give me 10 rupees? Because just once or twice in my life I have seen a 10 rupee note. But I have heard there is a 100 rupee note. So I will go and ask for 100 rupees. Like this he is thinking in his mind. And when he goes actually in front of the king, he simply blurts out 200 rupees. He thought maybe he will be angry with me for asking too much. So the king says, what? I am going to give anyone anything what he asks. And he is asking me 200 rupees. So he said, just give him this, just kick him out. So what is his position? He could actually ask for 2 million rupees or 2 billion rupees. So never in his life there would be any chance for him to beg. So if he spends 5 rupees, after 40 days, again he will be back in that corner, again begging. Similarly, if you go to God and you don't know how great God is, so you ask for something which is paltry from his point of view. So what happens? When that desire is fulfilled, you see, oh, now it's all over. Now the whole problem is back. So why did I worship God? This problem is not gone. But the problem is, you don't know how great God is. As Srila Prabhupada used to say, the only purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement, why we are writing so many books, why we have more than 80 literatures, as you can see, we have so many books. The Bhagavad Gita is 700 verses. The Srimad Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses. And plus we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many other books. The only aim is, people know just intellectually that God is great. But great means, it is just relative. It is not absolute. You don't have an absolute understanding. We have to teach them what greatness means. What actually means great? Just like, if you are an ordinary person, someone who has a 1 crore rupees is fabulously rich from your point of view. You say, he has 1 crore rupees. That's 100 lakhs. Quite a fabulous sum. But if someone who is a billionaire, he says, I know one person who is fabulously rich. He says, he is himself billionaire. And he is saying someone who is fabulously rich. My God, how rich that person must be. So this is all relative. When you say, God is great, I wanted 1,000 rupees, and somehow or other I got a lottery and I got 1,000 rupees. Yeah, wow, God is great. He gave me 1,000 rupees. But that's from your point of view. Because you don't actually really know how great God is. So, when we come in contact with transcendental knowledge, then we understand, He can give me whatever I want. He can take away all my distress. He can give me all knowledge. He can satisfy all my desires. He can give me any amount of wealth. But is that his greatness? Does that make him God? Does that qualify him to be God? Or he can give me something which is even greater than this. So when you know that, when you are purified by knowledge, then you understand what I should ask from God. What is my desire? What do I want? Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, as his devotee, he teaches us. Just like, you never knew A, B, C, D, unless the teacher came and took your hand and said, this is how you have to write A, this is B. Doesn't mean that the teacher himself is studying. He actually knows many more things than that. So Krishna himself comes and shows, you want to learn how to be a devotee of Krishna? See how I do it. And he said, na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadish kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktir ahetuki tvai. He says, oh my lord, na dhanam, don't give me wealth, I don't want wealth. Na janam, I don't want followers. Na sundarim, I don't want any association of beautiful women. Kavitam va jagadish kamaye, I don't want to be praised. I don't even want liberation. Mama janmani janmanishvare, what do I want? Bhavatad bhaktir ahetuki tvai, I want your causeless devotional service. That means this causeless devotional service or pure devotional service is higher than whatever things are mentioned before. Of course, unless we come to that stage, it is no use just to imitate somebody. If you have something in your heart and then I don't want, but actually you crave for it, that is hypocrisy. Causeless devotional service. That means this causeless devotional service or pure devotional service is higher than whatever things are mentioned before. Of course, unless we come to that stage, it is no use just to imitate somebody. If you have something in your heart and then you say, oh, I don't want, but actually you crave for it, that is hypocrisy. So Krishna knows actually whatever he wants. So he fulfills our desire just in the way as a doctor cures your itch. He gives you what is necessary for you and he takes away the material sense gratificatory element also. He sees that just by giving you, that is not the full process. I should give you whatever you want and you should also be free from all kinds of material desires. This is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, this is the best method for purification. We find people try to become pious. They think piety is the aim of life, but piety cannot purify you. In fact, most people complain at any program. They say, I know someone who every morning 2 hours very religiously he does his religion, but what he does in the rest of the 22 hours, I don't even want to say it. Why is that? People, when they do their religious activities, they do as if they are thoroughly into it. And when they come out of it, they do some of the most heinous activities because there is less of purification. This purification is absent. Parikshit Maharaj in the Bhagavatam says, I don't think this is any purification at all. It is like kunjara shauchavat. It is like the bathing of an elephant. In the jungle, an elephant comes in the lake. He takes such a thorough bath. He raises all the creatures in the pond or lake are disturbed by his bath because there is so much of splashing water. So he is thoroughly cleaned. And when he comes out, he again rolls in the mud. So he says, what is the use of such a bath? Similarly, if somebody does his religious activities and again does sinful activities, what is the use of doing these pious activities? It is not that 5 sinful activities and 10 pious activities, that means plus 5 and minus 5, this will eradicate each other and then you will have 5 pious activities. No, you have to enjoy your pious activities separately and you have to suffer your sinful activities separately. Actually it is said, you suffer your pious activities also, because as soon as the enjoyment is over, the suffering starts. Therefore, Krishna says, pure devotional service is something which is free from these inebrieties, which is free from this intoxication, which is free from these maladies or free from these disadvantages. Pure devotion service actually keeps you on that stage where you don't bother about any piety or impiety. Krishna says, just do this. And if you do it, you are actually following the highest principle of religion. Krishna said to Arjun, shoot. So he shot the arrows. He said, do this. He did that. Yudhishthira Maharaj was told, you go and tell Dronacharya that Ashwatthama is dead. But he said, Ashwatthama is not dead. I know that. How can I say it? He said, you just say because I say. So he said, Ashwatthama is dead. But then his mind very slowly muttered, Ashwatthama the elephant. So, actually he was afraid, if I say a lie, my name will be tainted. I am supposed to be someone who has not spoken any lie. But of course, this is a leela on the part of God to teach. Actually, your name is tainted because you did not obey the order of Krishna. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj's chariot, which was a bit higher, on a higher level than the ground, it actually came down. He had to suffer a bit. There was some disadvantage. So, unless we understand that obeying Krishna is the highest pious activity, because he is supremely powerful. The Ishopanishad describes him as asna viram shuddham apapaviddham. God is apapaviddham. There is no sinful activity which can taint him. So if you want to do something and not suffer for sinful activities, what should you do? You should associate as thickly, as closely as possible with God. That is what you should do. Suppose you also get the qualities of the sun, then whatever you do also is sterilized. As we know, some injections, they are put in boiling water so that no germs can grow there. That means heat has a sterilizing effect. Heat can kill away all the germs which can cause disease. Similarly, God or Krishna, whatever it does, these activities are all pure. And therefore, one who comes in contact with God or his devotional service is also slowly brought to the platform of purity. And this is what is lacking nowadays. In a sense, we do so many things, but those activities are not, they don't have that potency. You may have so many electrical points, but if those points don't have any electricity in them, you may catch hold of any wire. You may feel, no problem. I am holding so many wires, but I am not having any problem. But if one of them is a live wire in a sense, that wire which carries electricity, the moment you touch, nobody needs to tell you that it has electricity in it. You immediately feel, oh, I got a shock. Why? Because there was electricity into it. Similarly, we may go to so many satsangs, we may go to so many temples, we may perform so many pious activities, but our devotional spirit is dead. We don't have any life in us. So people claim, I went in front of that idol or deity or statue, it is all dead stone. How can that stone react to me? But your devotional life is also dead. So how can that stone speak to you? How can it relate to you? You have at least to do some piety, some pious credit. And when you are fortunate to come to a place where you get that real devotion service, shock. Immediately you get a shock. So, we'll stop here. We'll get a shock when we see the beautifully dressed Radha Gopinath. I hope this shock doesn't shock you. It can actually shock us out of material life. Hare Krishna.